everyone sing together now. To Canaan's land, I'm on my way, where the soul never dies. My darkest night will turn to day, where the soul never dies. No sad farewells, no tear dimmed eyes, where all is love and the soul never dies. How many of you have never heard this before in your whole life? How many of you has been 100 years since you've sung this song? That might be more the case. All right, let's sing on the last verse together now. Here we go. I'm on my way to that fair land where the soul never dies, where there will be no parting hand and the soul never dies. No sad. Seated, church. Choir, you can be seated as well. It's so good to see you back in the house of the Lord this evening. As you know, we have a special guest with us. I'm going to let Brother Rusty come around here in a few moments and introduce you to him. You notice he's dressed a little different than we are, but we are glad to have him with us tonight. Be a very educational service, interesting service for us, and we're excited to have him here tonight. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Please remember the prayer request from this morning. Don't forget, Miss Glenda's going to be having surgery in the morning. We have Melita's having surgery, I believe, on Wednesday. Don't forget about our youth and those that are with them are traveling back today. And the wind is terrible. CJ called and said, please pray. I know it seems odd to ask for this prayer request, but it is hard to keep this bus in the road with the wind. So please, let's remember them in prayer. Pray the Lord give them a safe journey back home this evening. And pray the Lord give us a great week. Remember that Jubilee is next week, and there'll be no Bible study next Sunday morning. Choir practice, choir the same time as normal, 9:30. And then service starts at 10:30. We're looking forward to a great week. But for tonight, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask the Lord to be with us. Brother Joe, would you take us, the Lord, tonight in a word of prayer? Ask God's blessing on the offering as well as the service here this evening. sorrows and fears pass away. Heartaches soon vanish and burdens can stay. For the heart that's been broken and wounded by sin, there is healing when you call on His name.
At the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, sin's chains are broken, the captives set free. At the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, no trembles and Satan must flee.
Now He shall return some glad day. A blessed appearing for those who've obeyed. Every tongue shall confess Him to be the Lord of lords. They shall bow to the power of His name.
Well, again, it's good to be here this evening. I'm glad that you're here, and we've actually been looking forward to this service for some time now, and at the end of the day, we're wanting a safe place to worship, to protect everybody. Unfortunately, it's the time and day in which we live. I wanted to share one verse with you, and I want to introduce our speaker for tonight, but in Matthew 10, in verse number 16, the Bible says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." Notice this. This is the part I'm really wanting us to see tonight. "Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." And so what I want you to catch out of that verse is this, is just to be wise as serpents but harmless as doves, and so that we can worship the Lord and win others to Jesus. But tonight, it is a joy and honor to have Sergeant Chris Worth with us, Cobb County Sheriff Department. And I'll say this, and I'll call him up. I always wanted to be a police officer, be involved with law enforcement. And every time I tried, the Lord would direct me other ways. And so instead, he made me a preacher instead of a policeman. But, hey, both are needed in the day and time we live. Give a round of applause, if you would, for Sergeant Chris Worth.
I'm going to just wander around, if you guys don't mind. So my name is Christopher Worth. I'm with the Cobb County Sheriff's Office. I've been there now for a little over 16 years. I've spent the last 2 or 3 years giving this class along with other classes. We're going to go through this kind of quick. It's a lot to go through. It's usually about a two and a half hour class. I've condensed it down. I took out a bunch of the videos, other stuff, but there's still a lot of really good information in here. Just to give you a little bit of background, though, this isn't to scare anyone. Obviously, I don't want to come out here and scare anyone. I don't want you to be afraid of everything. I don't want you to be on edge. But the first step is realizing what's going on out there. And as long as you realize what's going on in the world outside, and you're aware of it, and you've got it in your mind, I think it will make you safer. So if you'll just bear with me through some of this, I don't have any pictures of blood or gore, well, no dead bodies, anything else. There's one picture that has some blood in it, and that's it. So there's nothing terrible about this presentation. Some of the interviews are a little heart-wrenching, like they'll interview people well after the fact, and they talk about what they were thinking and stuff like that, and it is a little sentimental. It's a touchy subject. I mean, the whole subject is violence. There's no other way around it. You're talking about a active attack situation. It's a violent event. So with that being said, we'll go through it. If you feel like you need to get up, you need a break, something else, feel free, just head out and be not disruptive, I guess. So if we'll go to the next one, that's my information. If you need anything, my telephone number's up there. They've got it in the back. You can email me, call me, whatever works best for you. This is what they're calling active attack events now. They used to call them active shooters. They're kind of changing that lingo because it doesn't always involve shooting. Next one. And why we're here. For those of you who don't know, I'm local. I have moved here with my family. We live here just in Hiram, a little ways from here. Those of you who might know where Creekside Golf Course is, it's right around the corner. My family and I live here. My children go to school here. They go to Grace Christian Academy, Grace Baptist Christian, yeah, keep changing their name. But they go to school local. And the reason I teach this class, we don't charge for it. We don't do anything. I feel like if I can make you safer, you're going to make all of us safer. If you know how to respond, you know how to handle things, get to a safe place, you're going to take someone else with you. And it may be my family or my children. So I encourage each of you, go out and mention it to others. Teach others what they can do to help. Next slide. There have been 3 active shooter events in Cobb County. The first was in, got my notes over here. First was in 1989 at the Coca-Cola plant. Those of you who know where Highway 41 is, Cobb Parkway, there was a Coca-Cola plant up there. There was an active shooter there. 1989, he went in and shot, he was fired. He had worked there for 23 years, and he got fired on a Friday. And he went to his locker, got his stuff, came back, started shooting at his bosses. I could not find in the newspaper articles of the day anywhere where it mentions how many people were killed. The next shooting was the Penske shooting. I helped respond to that one. That was 2010, January 12th. Former employee walked into the Penske truck rental place. He had psychological problems. He believed that he invented Wi-Fi and made $500 million off of it, and Penske stole his money. He went in there, unloaded, killed 4 people. The last one we have had was April 29, 2014. I responded to this one as well. It was the FedEx package handler. He shot several people. No one died. Next slide. They're calling them active attack events. As I said before, the FBI, the federal agencies, they're trying not to call them active shooters because it's hard to count how many people are dead in an active shooting. What if somebody drives a truck through somewhere? What if it's knives? What if it's some other weapon? So they started calling them active attack events. Basically, next slide, and you'll have to click like 3 times. The definition, click again. I don't know why they made it like this. Active attack event equals basically an attempted mass murder. That's basically the easiest way to look at it. So what they're trying to get you out of the mindset of is thinking about guns and shooting and those types of things. It may be they go through some of them. The U-Haul truck in New York that drove through all the pedestrians, the knife attacks, some of those other things. If you click to the next one, some of the things they've noticed in common with all of the attackers has been that there's no single profile. It used to be middle-aged white male. That's not the case anymore. You've got minorities, men, women, all kinds of stuff. But they almost always have an avenger mindset. They almost always want to get even with someone, whether it's an ex-employer, ex-girlfriend, ex-something. They always want to get even with someone. The kids at schools who are bullied, they're always wanting to get even with someone. And they have a broadcast method now. They're going online. They're posting things. They're posting their manifestos on Facebook. They're posting why they're doing things. They're making videos. They're always, not always, they're usually putting it out there, telling everyone in advance, this is what I'm going to do. Even the shooters at Columbine, they made a video. They talked about it. They planned it. They rehearsed it. If you go to the next one, these are things that they have in common before an attack. They always have a history of violence and exposure to violence, usually have a substance abuse problem of some sort, a mental illness, a history of suicide. That word. Thank you. All right, next slide. Some more factors they have: stalking, harassing, or threatening behavior. Negative family dynamics and no support system. Usually they don't have a good family support system, church support system, whatever it may be. It's usually somebody who does not have those. Usually they live in isolation or instability. And the last one is very interesting to me. Others are concerned. You used to hear in the 70s and 80s that no one would have expected it. They were the normal neighbor. They were an ideal person. You don't hear that about them anymore. Now you're hearing, we kicked him off campus. We knew something was wrong with him. We knew he had mental health issues. We knew everybody seemed to know about it, but no one wants to respond. They have this, lack of a better way to put it, you know, this politically correct mindset. They don't want to confront something like this. So you're seeing that more often now. Next slide. All right, I'm sorry. Can you go back a slide? So let me tell you a little bit about this map first before we go through it. These dots, from the year 2000 through 2016, they've kept track of all the attacks. The little dots are less than four victims. The big dots are more than four victims. Guns, knives, cars, others. And it's year by year. So you'll see them going through 2003, 4, 5, 6. These are all active attacks, but there's none in Georgia. Until 2010. And it seems like they're picking up. They're getting faster and faster. And the dots are getting bigger and bigger. Dots are getting pretty fast now. ...242 from 2000 to 2016. You'll notice there's patterns. The weapons are changing. The speed is changing. It's speeding up. It's becoming more common. There's several theories on that. My personal one is it's making more news, and these kids want attention. The more attention they get, the more news agencies report on it, the more they're going to do it. So we'll get to that a little later in there. Next slide. Everybody thinks they happen in schools. Everybody hears about school shootings. Most of them don't happen in schools. Most of them happen in commerce, in business, disgruntled employees. The other includes churches. Surprisingly, that's one of the lowest ones. I would have thought that it would be a little higher than it is. Thank goodness it's not. But outdoors is actually pretty high. I wouldn't have thought that would be there very high. I think that is counting the Las Vegas shooting. I think that's what made that one so high. If you'll go one more, the attacker connection, about half of them know their victim, but the other half doesn't. I thought that would be higher, but it's not. So about half of them are random. And we're going to skip through real fast on a couple of them. Go to the next one. And the next one, just to kind of remind you of some of them that have happened lately, in case you don't remember them, UC Santa Barbara, he went through and stabbed three people, and then he went driving over people, and then he wound up getting shot by himself. He shot himself in his car on this one because girls wouldn't go out with him. So he wanted to get even with all the female students. Next, the Orlando Pulse nightclub. That was an Islamic-inspired attack. He was upset. There's been rumors back and forth. I don't think they ever ironed out whether or not he actually frequented that club. Next, Las Vegas. This was a big one that everybody seems to remember. I think the reason this is the number one right now, victim count, I think the reason this is number one is cover and concealment. For those of you who don't know a whole lot about it, I don't want to talk down to anyone, but concealment is something that hides you. If I hide behind a couch, that's concealment. The bad guy can't see me, but he can still shoot through the couch. He may not shoot at me because he can't see me. Cover is something like a concrete wall that you can get behind and the bullet ain't going through it. They didn't have either. They were in a big open field at a concert, and I think they were just out of luck. There was very little to get behind, very little to hide, get out of the way, anything. And I think that's why that has the highest casualty. Next is New York City. The truck. It was a Home Depot truck. He rented. Drove through, killed 8, wounded 15. He was shot by police and arrested. Next, Sutherland Springs. That was a church. He went in, started unloading. He was unhappy with his, I believe it was ex-wife. And started shooting up the place. He was confronted by an armed armed citizen who shot him. He fled, and then he shot himself. Next slide. So the important things. This is where we start getting into the bread and butter of what you can do and what affects things here. There are two things, and if there's nothing else you take away from this, two things that will affect the number of deaths in any active attack. The first one, if you'll click it, is how quickly the police arrive. The average response time in the United States is 3 minutes. For most any agencies, about 3 minutes on average. I keep meaning to look at Cobb County's. I know it's lower than that, but I don't know how much lower. But 3 minutes, you've got to do something to stop the victims. Next one is target availability. If this were a math formula and you had how quickly the police arrived and you know that number is going to be 3, target availability is a big variable. If you have a schoolhouse that's full of people, there's going to be more victims. If you can get those people to a safe location, get them secured somewhere where the gunman can't get to them, attacker can't get to them, that's going to cut back on the victims. So that's what we're here to teach you. We know how long the police are going to take. We want to get you to handle it safely before they get there. You don't need to be confronting gunmen. You don't need to be doing any of that. What we need to do is limit the amount of exposure of the gunmen to the targets. Next slide. 3 minutes national average. Next. And a little bit about disaster response, the human psychological response is kind of interesting. It's a big rabbit hole. Next one. So there are basically 3 stages. Click, there's denial, deliberation, and decisive moment. Denial, you can click. Denial is thinking that there's not a problem. More often than not, whenever there's an active attack of some sort, everybody stands there. If you watch the videos, whether it's the Las Vegas shooting, we go through some other ones in here, they'll be in denial. The Columbine teachers wondered why there were fireworks going off in the hallway. And it's not that they were intentionally in denial. They just, in their head, you're trying to think of a reason that you would hear these sounds. And no one wants to admit that there's a gunman outside. So they were in their head thinking, who's setting off fireworks in the building? How many of us hear fireworks? I've never heard fireworks in my building at work. That's where you need to get out of this denial and go directly to a decision-making process. You know, you need to figure out what you're going to do instead of waiting to figure out, you know, hey, is it fireworks or somebody nailing with a nail gun or something else? Go ahead and respond. The quicker you get out of denial, the better your chances are. Deliberation is where you try to decide what to do. The problem with deliberation is you've already established that you have a problem and you don't have a plan. Now you're trying to make up a plan while you're under stress. And anyone who's ever tried to make a plan whenever you're really stressed knows that that's not the time to make it. You should have that plan in advance. So I laugh at cops. Cops are usually pretty easy to pick out in public. If you go to a restaurant and you see the guy sitting in the corner with his back against the wall, watching the front door, kind of glancing around the room, that's a cop. Because he's planning that. He's making a plan of what he can do. There's a lady in my office, female officer, very petite little thing, and it says, she has a t-shirt she wears, and it says, I may be smiling, but I've already thought of three ways to kill you. And it's terrible, but I kind of believe it about her. She's made a plan, and if anything goes bad, she's already got a plan. She knows what she can and can't do. When you walk in, do you know what exits are in the building? Do you know if there's something blocking the exit? Is there something that's going to stop you from getting out? Do you know which way a problem's going to come from? You know, are you more likely to have a problem coming from this side door over here? Or are you more likely to have one come through the front door? Those are things that you kind of want to pay attention to and learn and have a plan for before it happens. And the next one, more about deliberation, sorry. You can click. They call it the human brain and the lizard brain. I don't like those terms, but basically what they're saying is the human brain is where you think things through and you make a plan. The lizard brain is where you just move. You know, somebody's shooting at you, you're going to jump up and move. The example they give is if someone jumps out and startles you, the first thing everybody does is they pull back and they freeze. If you hear a noise while you're in bed, you're going to think of something. You're going to start thinking, you know, what was that noise? What's going on downstairs? And you hear a little bit more noise, you know, maybe it's the wind blowing, maybe it's a dog outside, maybe it's, you'll start thinking things through logically, but your mind has time to process it. When somebody just jumps out and startles you, you don't have time. That's that lizard brain. You're just focused on right this moment. It talks about your heart rate. I think that's different for everybody, so I'm going to let that one go. Okay, so this is a very good learning tool. Do not intend it to laugh at anyone. This video shows a multitude of responses. So this is a French market. A gunman comes into the market and starts shooting. He's up front on the other side of the market. You won't see him in this video. But what you will see is these people respond. This little old man is trying to get out. You'll see him get knocked to the ground. You'll see in the top center a lady who doesn't know what to do, so she lays down on the floor and plays dead. Gunman knows she's not dead. You'll see a lady come around the corner with her stroller who has taken her baby out of that stroller probably 10 times this day. Can't get her baby out of the stroller because she's so stressed. She eventually just rips the baby out of the stroller and beats out. You'll see all kinds of people responding all different ways in this one little video that just happened to be a security video at the store. Nobody has a plan. Nobody knows which way they're going. Some are coming, some are going. Everybody's going a different direction. Next slide. There we go. Do you guys remember the Station nightclub fire? Anybody heard of that one? This was a nightclub that had a fire. They had a pyrotechnic show, bands up on stage. Curtains caught fire. No one knew what to do. You'll see here, up in the top where those arrows are, that's the stage. Where the number one is, that is where they all came in. That's the main entrance to the building. Where the number two is the kitchen exit. Where the number three is the bar exit. Number four is the stage exit. There were four doors leading outside from that building. Everyone came in door number one. Which way do you think everybody came out? Door number one. Nobody noticed any other exits in that building. Everybody went to door number one. So one of the people watching the show sees the curtains catch fire. He starts he's recording the thing. He starts to head out. So he turns around this way, takes his phone, recording behind him as he's walking. That's the next video. Go ahead. You can play that video. Curtains have caught fire. Everybody's still in denial. He starts walking. He knows what's going on. This guy with his arm in the air is saying, everybody out. The band's still playing. Couldn't get through that door. It was blocked. They opened inward instead of outward. When everybody packed in front of it, they got stopped. Next slide. Each one of those little yellow dots was where they found a body. 31 of them in front of that door. Kind of hard to tell where it says game tables right there. You could see it from the inside during the video. Those are all glass windows. Nobody knocked out the windows until later. Nobody knocked out the windows. There's three bodies in the bar next to the exit, one in the kitchen next to the exit. Nobody went through the stage exit, which was right there. Everybody panicked. And any firemen in here? Fire marshals? All right, they don't like to hear this. Where do they put exit signs at? Up top. Where does smoke go? Up top. Whenever you're trying to figure out your way out of a building, that's not the time to find the exit. It's going to be covered in smoke. You aren't going to be able to find it. Know where your exits are. Know what's going on. These are all things that, again, I don't want to scare anyone, but if you walk into a room and you just notice where the exits are, okay, how many exits are there? If I had to go through a window, do I know where any windows are? Or something that would even break a window? You don't have to, you know, you don't have to crawl through the window. Just have an idea of where it is. Next. Once you start getting into those higher heart rates and confusion, you'll start thinking about things differently. You won't be clear-minded. You won't be able to do things. You should try to calm yourself, breathe. It says shift your emotions. We have these things called simunitions that we use. They're actual guns that shoot pellets, and they hurt like you wouldn't believe. First time somebody starts shooting those at you, your whole emotions start changing. You're scared whenever you get up to the door. You're like, okay, well, this is going to be training. This is going to be good. You get to the door, and you're really scared. And whenever they start shooting, your emotions change. You get very angry and aggressive, and it is kind of a coping mechanism that will make you think clearer. I know it sounds silly, but anger is a much clearer thinking emotion than fear. Whenever you're afraid, it's hard to focus on anything. And staying fit. I tell my wife, you don't have to stay fit enough to get yourself out of a bad situation. I want to be fit enough that I can help someone else get out. If there's actually an emergency and I'm exiting, you can just about rest assured you're going to pass kids, elderly, someone else who's going to need help. I don't want to just get myself out and have to leave them. Be fit enough that you can help yourself out and help someone else. Next slide. Script and practice. Like I said, kind of rehearse things in your head. Where are the exits? What can I do? Civilian response. We don't want you going out in a hail of gunfire trying to confront someone if there's an active shooter. The recommendations now is get through denial. Don't deny. If you hear gunshots, go directly to deliberation. Figure out what you need to do next. Playing dead is not an option. It's terrible.
We heard the first shots at around 9:40 a.m. I was sitting on the wall of the classroom, so in the hallway, and I could hear the shots getting closer and closer very quickly. I mean, there was only a few seconds between the first time we heard them and when he actually walked in. To me, it sounded like an axe being taken to a piece of wood. And our teacher, she opened the door, and she peered outside, and she immediately shut the door, and she said, call 911. And right then, he walked in just seconds after. There's absolutely no time to think or to duck or to take cover, and people just kind of fell to the floor. And he immediately walked in shooting, and he went to the other side of the classroom, and he started going down the rows. He went down each row very quickly, very purposefully. And I remember thinking, your turn is coming. You're going to get shot. I mean, I didn't realize there was an active shooter, but I knew something bad was happening. He came back to our classroom three times, and on the third time, he killed himself in the front of the class. In between each time he was there, you could just hear people crying and coughing, and the cell phone started ringing. When he was in our class, I remember trying not to breathe very much, so he couldn't tell I was alive. Because as my stomach was hitting the chair, I was thinking, you know, he can see me breathing, he can see me alive, and that was very scary. I'll never forget when the SWAT team first broke in at around 9:51. The officer in the front of the classroom said, we have a lot of blacks in here. And at the time, I couldn't comprehend what he was talking about, but he meant triage codes. And I remember looking into the girl to my right and realizing, you know, what black meant. He looked over me and he said, first he said yellow, and then he changed it immediately and he said red. And that's when I first started panicking. I still couldn't speak. I was shot three times, lying on my back. And I remember thinking, what do you see? Like, what can you see on me that I can't, that you would change me from yellow to red? He killed 12 people in my classroom, including our teacher.
Virginia Tech shooting. She was one of the survivors. We'll talk about the classrooms here in a minute. It's very insightful. He came back to that room three times. Playing dead is not an option. She tried, and I got to give her credit. I mean, she didn't have a lot of options, and it was better than nothing, but it does not work. You can click the next one. The issue with playing dead or hiding is that whatever you're hiding behind is probably not going to be bulletproof. That's your first issue. Your second issue is if you try to run or if you are seen, where do you go? If you're under a desk and he sees you, you're not going anywhere. Of all your options, hiding is not a good one. So the next one, what we're recommending is what they call the avoid, deny, defend process. Avoid the situation. If you hear something, something's going on, you hear a shooter on this side of the building, don't go confronting them. Don't go hiding here. Just avoid. Get out. Get out of the area or deny him access to this area. So avoid is leave. Deny is locking the doors, barricading the doors, doing something to prevent him from getting in or her from getting in. And defend. Defending is fighting. We don't want to be in that situation. But if you can't avoid and you can't deny, it may be your only option. Obviously, we don't want to get to that point. There's very little that an unarmed person is going to do to an active attacker. Next. This is another good learning video. This was a school council meeting. So for those of you that have not heard it, it was down in Florida. This gentleman right here in the middle of the picture is on the school board. one of the employees that was fired, her husband comes in. And he comes into the school board meeting, which is being filmed, and they get the whole thing on video. He walks up to the front of the room, paints a big V on the front of the wall, V for Vendetta. For those of you who don't know, it's a movie. Basically, he's going to get even with someone. Paints this big V in red spray paint, tells everybody they can leave. And you'll see the reactions they have whenever he tells them they can leave. And then he pulls out a gun. And you'll see what happens from there. It doesn't include any of the shooting or any of that.
From any technology that knows it's on the shot that you have there, and it's part of the plan we have, the workshop we're going to have following this meeting, but this will be the first step in that whole process. I have a motion.
Here's the spray paint.
Oh, a motion.
Everybody, now would be a good time to leave. Okay, so a lot of critiques. Again, not poke fun at him, not to criticize him. But whenever the guy starts painting a big V on the wall in red paint, it's probably time to leave. He whips out a gun, it's really time to leave. And they were all still sitting in their seats. They were in denial. Then whenever he says, everyone from over here can leave, everybody except the guys on the stage, they start picking up their purses, closing up their laptops, pushing in their chairs. It's not time to worry about that. It's time to leave. So he talks to the guy. The guy does a really good job of trying to calm him down. Surprisingly, the school board member winds up surviving this. I mean, it did not end badly. The suspect got shot by a resource officer who, we'll come back to that in a minute. But did any of you notice the little old lady in the back? She is my hero. She comes in with her purse and she smacks him in the back of the head. Good initiative, bad judgment. You've got to know your own limits. Again, I understand, just like earlier, everyone wants to help, everyone wants to do something. But if you've got a purse, that's not gonna help the situation. Genuinely, I'm pretty surprised that she made it through that without getting hurt. She gets knocked down, someone else comes in to help her. All's well that ends well. But she tried. Next. Leave. Know your exits. Go outside. Call 911. Take your phone with you. I'm not opposed to that. Even if you don't have your phone, ask somebody else for a phone. But don't slow yourself down getting out. He starts spray painting. Leave. Don't be in the same grocery store. I don't remember this video. Same grocery store. The one with all the reactions. First guy's leaving. Second guy's leaving. They did the right things. Okay, I think they just put that one in there. You can go to the next one. All right, so consider your secondary exits. Once you leave the area, these people ran. This is that same grocery store. They ran to the back of the store. They didn't know how to get out. They saw the signs or something, said exits. They went to the back of the store. I give them credit for that. But consider secondary exits. They're in the back. You can click it. That's the loading bay door. Kind of hard to tell. See that ladder right there to the left of the arrow? That's a person huddled down on the floor. She's trying to hide from a shooter in the building, and she's right next to the door. And it's not her fault. She's trying to make decisions under stress. If you click again, I think there's another one. Yep, ladder that leads out. You can click again. Next one. To deny someone, don't let them in. You can lock the door, turn out the lights, get out of sight. Next. Barricade, the heavier the better, the more the better. Door stops, if they're these little rubber door stops, they're not going to stop anyone. Those are great for holding the door open. They're not really great for stopping somebody from pushing a door open. If you're going to barricade it, get something heavy, get a lot of it. Next. Same picture. She's still hiding there. Click. She can take that big rolling tray and put it in front of the door, lock the wheels down. Next. She's got this tray there. I think there's one more. Nope. All right. This video, I'm going to skip over it if you don't mind.
That all day.
You can skip to the next one. It's an interview. It's a teacher. She does very well, but it's kind of a long interview. Deny. Positioning, grab the gun, fight, and shift your motions. So the military sat down and decided to try several scenarios with this. So these are military personnel, so I don't expect this to translate perfectly into the civilian world. But the best response they were getting was getting on either side of the door whenever the person came through. Whenever the person, they had a barricaded door, whenever the person tried to come through the door, the person would almost always stick their gun through first, and then they would try to wedge in. If you're stuck in a room, you can try to get the gun from them. Where you do not want to be is on the far side of the room, because then he comes through the door and you're a big target with nowhere to go. If you can't leave and you have to fight, fight with everything you've got. Next. Okay. Same store in France. This is a different side, and you'll see the different reactions. You'll see people who, once the shooting starts, you'll see people who lay down in the back and play dead. You'll see all kinds of other reactions from people. My favorite, though, is this guy in the ball cap. Once again, my hero. If you want to go ahead and start that one. He doesn't know what he's going to do, but he's going to do something. Little old lady in the back just lays down. And next. He doesn't know what he's going to do, but he's going to do something. By the time he gets up there, the shooter has left. The gun that the shooter had fired, I think, 3 shots or 4 shots and then jammed on him. So he gets up to the front and the guy's gone. This is Lieutenant Brian Murphy. He responded to a Sikh temple. Someone thought it was a Muslim temple and went in there to shoot the place up. Whenever they got there to shoot, he was the first responding officer to get there. So he's walking through the parking lot. He's got his gun drawn, his flashlight out, and the guy shoots him. And then the fight is on. So he starts returning fire. They start shooting at each other in this parking lot. He gets behind a car. Bad guy wound up shooting him. On that slide, it's not. It's some outrageous number of times. I mean, it was like 8 or 10 times or something. He was shot. He did. He survived. He does speeches now. He said he was not going to die. So he fought back and he stayed with it with everything he had. Another great guy. Just not giving up. Next. So. We talked about, checking the environment whenever you come into a building. Like I said earlier, you know, knowing where the exits are, knowing what's going on. Realizing that, you know, if you've got somebody being boisterous at the bar, that's probably the place where you should keep your focus. You know, if you're in a restaurant and you're having dinner, somebody's yelling at the bar, you don't necessarily have to leave, but at least keep an eye on it. Don't turn your back on it. Don't ignore it. Keep an eye on it. Next. A little bit about Virginia Tech. Next. So, an attack starts. You can click through this whole slide. Can you avoid? If not, then you deny. If you don't have other exits, you can click more. Yes, you can avoid. No, then you have to defend. And what you do will matter. Next. This is Virginia Tech, the whole campus. Next. This is Norris Hall. This is where the Virginia Tech shooting happened. Next, second floor. Those are the classrooms. 206, 204, 211, 7, and 5. Each one of them responded differently, which is amazing to me. So, next, 206 had... Suspect first entered room 206, then room 207, and then 211. Every person, every single person in room 211 was shot, with 11 killed and 6 wounded. This was the third room attacked and was revisited by the suspect 2 more times. That was the one that the young lady was in. Room 204 was Professor Livu Librewski's. Professor Librewski held the door closed while 10 of his students escaped out the window. Professor Librewski and another student were killed and 4 were wounded. However, his delaying action by holding the door saved numerous lives. Room 205 was a complete denial. If you click again, that was 211. One more. Maybe not. Okay. So 204, those are all the people who got out the window. 205 was a complete denial. No one got in. They laid on the floor and put their feet against the door. He shot through the door and went over the top of them. So the ones who did not have time, 211, did not have time to respond. And almost everyone in there was shot. 204 held the door shut, and the professor and one other student were shot and killed. And 205, they laid on the floor, put their feet against the door, denied him entrance, and everyone lived. So what you do makes a difference. Next. Everybody lived. Next slide. There we go. There's the number shot, the number killed by room number. 211 was a high one. That was the one that she was in. And 205 was a denial. Next slide. A little bit about the police whenever we get there. Follow commands. Show the palms of your hands. Don't go running around. It seems kind of obvious, but people are in a panic. I mean, it's not their fault. They're going to be nervous. They're going to be afraid. Women have a tendency to grab their purses. You know, you've got a bag. I don't know what's in that bag. I don't know if it's a gun, a bomb, or nothing. Next. Our focus is to stop the attack. We don't know if the attack is still ongoing. We don't know if there's still a shooter. Whenever we responded to the FedEx shooting, it took hours to clear that building. And we could not stop and help people until we had cleared that building and made it safe. EMTs will not come into the building until it's safe. If they come in and they become a casualty, then we've got casualties on top of casualties. So we've got to make sure it's safe. We're going to evacuate the injured, but that's after we stop the threat, whatever the threat may be. Next. EMS delay, but people need help. There's a program out there, next slide, called Stop the Bleed. It's a national program. They come to different places. They give you training on tourniquets, blood stopping agents, how to control hemorrhaging, those types of things if there is an active shooter, and then they sell their little medical kits. I don't know enough about them to recommend them. Marietta swears by them. Marietta bought hundreds of kits. They've been handing them out. I think it's a good idea. I just don't know that the sheriff is going to spend taxpayer money. You know, it's different whenever it's Marietta City versus the county, you know, spending this on. But they offer training. Most of it's free. Next. You'll notice that I have not named a single attacker. That's what I told you earlier. I think they do it for attention. You will not hear me ever mention any of the shooters by name. I will name every hero. They're heroes. They deserve to be named. The attackers do not. If you have any contact with anyone in the press, anyone in the media, my recommendation is to pass it on to them as well. Obviously, we can't control what they do, and they're trying to, you know, do their jobs too, but I will not name them. These are some of the heroes that I like. This is Victoria Soto. She was a first grade teacher. She was at Sandy Hook on the day that he came in and shot. She put herself between him and her kids. Her classroom is where some of the kids survived. She gave her life to protect them. She was one of the ones that hid the kids in the bathroom and helped barricade them with a bookcase and told the attacker that they were on the playground. She was trying to defend them. Next one is... That is an Illinois math teacher, Angela McQueen. She was a physical education and math teacher. A student shooter came in, and she jumped on him. She wound up jumping on him and holding him down until the police arrived. Everybody else started calling 911. She was one of the ones that held him down until the police showed up. There are a couple of others. I'm trying to find pictures for them. There's a great video if you're ever on YouTube. There's a, what do they call it, resident advisor at a university. He's in the dormitory. Guy walks in with a gun. Standing from you to me, this girl is walking down the stairwell. He points the shotgun at her, pulls the trigger and shoots her, and she stands there, looks at it, pulls her phone out, and calls her dad. Doesn't move. The resident advisor comes out, tackled this guy, took his gun away, runs the gun back out of the room, locks it in his office, then comes back, jumps on the guy again while he's got a knife. They wrestle over the knife, and he holds him until the police show up. It is an awesome video, made the news all over. I just can't find it except on YouTube, and I can't store YouTube on the slideshow. But there's lots of things out there, lots of examples of people being heroes, and I will praise them all day. But what we have to come back to is this whole avoid, deny, defend. There's a time to defend, but it's after you tried to avoid or deny or get away from them. Obviously, I don't want another victim involved in it. If you go to the next one, I think that's the end of the show. Kind of a summary. We talked about avoid, deny, defend. We talked about some of the people. You can click through it. We talked about some of the events that have happened recently, how to respond, how to avoid, deny, defend, and we talked about the Virginia Tech and the differences in their responses and how it's happened. Now, I don't have a lot of time for questions. It's 7 o'clock, but are there any questions? Sure. Yep, she looked at herself. She was shot. She looked at herself and didn't know what to do. She was that scared, and I understand. I mean, she's scared, but there's a time you got to do something. It did. She just stood there. I think she was shocked. Yes. Sure. Okay. Something's not right. I hate to say it kind of depends, but it kind of depends on how. Did everybody hear what's going on? So, in essence, someone came in who was seemed a little mentally disturbed, and he's asking what to do with that person. You know, is it the best thing to get him to leave, for everyone else to leave? What would be the best response? And I think it kind of depends on, I hate to say how crazy they are, but that's kind of where you're gauging it. Right. What I would recommend is, okay, we're going to get on the phone with the police and let's have them come out, because they're going to evaluate him. They're going to make sure that he's not, you know, doing something. And one way or the other, I want them on the way, because they're the ones with the guns. They're the ones who can handle it. And even if he's just a little off, they can escort him off the property, give him a criminal trespass warning, that kind of stuff. And they'll keep an eye on the church as well. Usually they'll do what we call a zone patrol. They'll drive by every half hour, hour, or whatever. But... you know, I don't think I'd evacuate a church over somebody who, you know, just didn't quite seem right. So that's why I said it kind of depends on their level. if it's escalating and getting worse, yeah, I'd go ahead and take him out or take the members out and put them in a safe place and while the police are on their way. Any other questions? Wow. I must have answered them all. Everybody ready to go home? It's 7 o'clock, too. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to come out. Thank you. Thank you. So I appreciate it. If you have any questions, he's got my email, my telephone number. I'm glad to answer any type of questions. I can't give legal advice, but other than that, I'm glad to answer any questions. So if you think of them later. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Sergeant Chris.
Thank you, God.
And I'll ask you, Sergeant Chris, if you would make your way to the foyer. I know some our folks love to shake your hand on the way out and appreciate you coming. And I'm proud of our church. We've had a couple scenarios since I've been here, and I feel like we've lined up with what Sergeant Chris has said tonight. Let's just, again, as the verse I quoted before he came and presented, wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. And if we do that, one of the main things I've taken from tonight is just just be aware. Just be aware. And really, whether we're here, whether we're in public, you can ask my wife, my daughter, I'm aware, I'm looking, I'm watching. It's just, I don't know, maybe it's part of being a man in a sense, but the other side of that, just be aware. And being aware, being alert, and making decisions is very good. And so thank you again for coming. And he'll be there in the entrance shaking hands. Let's stand to our feet tonight, and we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Anything to mention, any kind of anything at all, any special requests? Go ahead.
Some of us at the church have talked, and we will be making a safety team. This will include those that have some medical background, that if we do have a situation, Lord forbid, we will know what to do. We'll have the safety team. The main thing is everybody needs to be observant, like you said, because once it starts going, you don't have time to think. But if you want to be a part of the safety team, whether it's just being able to observe something and give a Bible description from the person, the vehicle, the incident you talked about earlier was great. They got him out of the church, but we still should have notified the PD on it. And to do that, we would have had to have certain information. We got to be aware to get that information. And even if it's four or five people, given the information, it comes together as a good description of someone. So just remember that and keep in prayer, especially those that have medical background. Somebody does get hurt, it's good to know who to turn to, you know, that you could help your other. Okay?
Thank you. That's coming from a police officer here in Powder Springs for, what, 30 years, right? Close to it. So, all right. Well, it's been good to be here tonight, and you just remember this coming up Sunday, 10:30, no Sunday school, and a choir, 9:30. Last year, I guess being our first year of Jubilee here, we showed up at 10:30 and forgot all about 9:30 choir. So let's remember that, 9:30 choir for 10:30 service this coming up Sunday. It's going to be a great week. Make plans being with us, and God bless you. You're at liberty to go.